Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament book of Amos, chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. And to be honest, the first time I read it through, I scratched my head and said, "What is this all about?" So I decided to do a little research. The first thing that surprised me that I had forgotten about is that this was written about 2,800 years ago. And it's addressing the Israelis at the time who had divided into two kingdoms, the north and the south. And Amos is from the south, and he goes and he's preaching his prophecy to those in the north. And he's telling them, "You have forgotten God's ways. You have forgotten what God freely gave to you when Moses led you out of Egypt. And now you're ignoring the poor and the needy. You've made a mockery of your religion, and you've forgotten about me, the Lord. And now that's going to come back to rest upon you." And this is what he is saying. It's interesting. It's entitled "The Basket of Fruit," which all of us look at as something in abundance with its delicious fruits. But in the Hebrew language at the time, the word sounded almost identical to the end. And that's what he's talking about to these folks, to the end, and that they must address what God challenged them with when he gave them this land of milk and honey. "This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, 'Amos, what do you see?' And I said, 'A basket of summer fruit.' And then the Lord said to me, 'The end has come upon my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The songs of the temple shall become wailings on that day,' says the Lord God. 'The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, 'When will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbaths so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the epitaph smaller and the shekel heavier and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, 'Surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day,' says the Lord, 'I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for the only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming,' says the Lord God, 'when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it.'"
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, It is the 10th chapter, if I can get to my bookmark here, verses 38 through 42. Let us listen to the familiar story with ears wide open. As they traveled, this is Jesus and the disciples, as they traveled, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who seated herself at Jesus' feet and listened to his words. Martha, who was busy with all the details of hospitality, came to Jesus and said, "Rabbi, don't you care that my sister has left me all alone to do all of the household tasks? Tell her to help me." And Jesus replied, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and upset about so many things, but only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. Mary has chosen the better part, and she will not be deprived of it." May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. So as many of you know, I was last week in Kansas City for the 35th Synod, General Synod of the United Church of Christ. And the theme for the week, and it's actually been a theme for the last 18 months if you look at our desk calendars, is Into the Deep. It was a great conversation and a great theme, Into the Deep. The conversations and sermons at Synod were moving. They were emotional, they were thoughtful, and they were thought-provoking. Each one of the three sermons that we heard had a focus of going into the deep, deep into our work, deep into our faith. Most of it was based on Luke's gospel of putting in the nets into the deep water and how that harvest of fish came up, nearly bursting the nets and the hardness that they had in pulling it ashore. There was also a sermon on deep roots, and I honestly meant to look up who that minister was that gave that one. It was the last sermon that we heard, and he, instead of looking into the deep waters, were looking into deep roots. And it was a phenomenal service. They're streamed. You can go out and catch them on the UCC webpage. And he was talking about the roots of prairie grass versus the roots of our turf grass and the difference in the resilience of the root systems between prairie grass and our lawns. It was phenomenal, Into the Deep conversations. Deep water, deep roots, deep love, deep connection, deep debate. Have no fear. We were being called into that deep. So the question that I have this morning is, have you ever stood on the edge of something vast and felt the need to go deeper? Coming from New England, I speak of the ocean often, so maybe it is the edge of the ocean. It's the rhythm and the steady mystery. Maybe you have stood at the edge of a canyon and looked down into the deep and wondered what was down there, into the deep. Maybe, just maybe, it's been a moment in your life when you've realized that staying in the shallow end just wasn't enough anymore. So this morning's readings, both Amos and the Gospel according to Luke, they're both stories that we have been following. Amos and the stories that we've been following through the Gospel of Luke call us to go into the deep, and not just deep waters, deep truths, deep risks, the deep transformation that God asks of us and calls us to engage with. So let's start with Amos. Amos is a prophet, not of a priestly lineage or a royal command. He is a shepherd and a dresser of sycamore trees. He is just an everyday person just trying to get through life, moving along, He is ordinary, he is earthly, he is close to the ground, being both a dresser of trees and a shepherd. But Amos brings the fire of God's justice. He brings the fire. A little bit earlier in Amos 5, in the scripture before what we heard this morning, we hear in their familiar words, "I hate, I despise your festivals. Take away from me the noise of your songs, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness from ever-flowing streams." This is the deep. Amos is telling the people of Israel that their rituals, beautiful as they may be, ring hollow if they are not matched by our lives and committed to justice. This morning's reading continues after that Amos 5. We pick it up in 8, and it's a warning to those Israelites at the time and us today as the church that we must always hold before us. It is a truth. Our worship, again, as beautiful as it may be, with our hymns and our communion and our liturgy and our prayers, cannot be separated from how we treat the poor, the marginalized, how we take care of this earth. And if that is what we're doing, then we are doing nothing but making noise. God wants depth. Not show, not surface, not shallow religion, but deep, honest justice work in God's name. If we put Amos beside the stories from Luke for a few minutes, we know the story of Jesus coming upon Simon Peter and some others, weary from the fullness and the fruitless night of fishing. Jesus tells them, "Put into the deep water and let down your nets for the catch." And Peter replies, "Master, we have worked all night long and have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." Again, I encourage you to go out on the website, look at Reverend Dr. Karen Georgia Thompson, our general minister and president, who did this sermon. "If you say so," was this deep sigh of Peter is tired, probably a little frustrated around the edges. He knows the waters. He knows how to fish. And Jesus, well, Jesus is a carpenter that's turned into a preacher. What does he know about fishing? What does he know about the deep? But something about Jesus inspires just enough trust, just enough curiosity for Peter to obey. And the nets begin to break with the catch. We have the story that Christine shared last week of the Good Samaritan, going deep into what is outside of our comfort to truly see and to do more than to see, but to care for our neighbors. Care no matter what. As the yard sign says, care for your neighbor, no exceptions. No exceptions to the shade of their skin, to their ethnicity, their race, their preferences for whether they like pineapple on their pizzas or not. We are to care for our neighbors. This morning's story, ever so short, about Martha and Mary, and yes, I can relate to Martha because my sister would be the Mary at the floor and I would be doing everything else. It's a comfortable story. It's a familiar story. We can put ourselves in that story on the surface. Have you ever stopped to truly look at the depth of that story? Martha acts, Mary studies. Those are our usual answers. And yet when we dive into who they are as God's beloved children, we can see that one is deep into caring for others and the other is deep into learning. Martha represents the deep, active faith, while Mary represents a deep, contemplative faith. Equal in their own strengths, neither one above the other. This is what it looks like to go into the deep, a willingness to let go of what we think we know, to risk failure, to trust in Jesus even when it does not make sense, and to discover abundance, to discover purpose in waiting and what is waiting for us. If we put these stories side by side, something very powerful emerges. From Amos, we learn that depth means justice, a life rooted in righteousness, in fairness, and in mercy. From Luke, we learn what depth means in discipleship, the willingness to follow Jesus beyond our familiar places and spaces into an unknown future. And all of this is costly. This is Dietrich Bonhoeffer's Cost of Discipleship. All of this is courageous. All of this is exactly what the church is called for today. When we hear and read about poverty and racism and climate collapse and systematic oppression, Amos still speaks, "Let justice roll down like water." When we hear Jesus directing to put into the deep, or asking, "Who is your neighbor?" or says, "Martha, you are worried and distracted by so much. Only one thing is necessary." Jesus is still speaking to each and every one of us. Will you follow me even when it's risky? The UCC has long been a church willing to go into deep water. And way before this church became part of the United Church of Christ, this church was founded in going into the deep waters. Founded out of a group of people from Oberlin College to work with the abolitionists, to work with the suffragettes, to call the end of slavery and to give women the right to vote. We are still called to stand for civil rights. We are still called to affirm the dignity of our LGBTQ sisters and brothers, our brothers and sisters of color, people from different faith and faith traditions. We are still called to call out climate justice as a spiritual calling. But we can't stop now. Going into the deep means refusing shallow faith to avoid conflict. It means listening to voices that challenge us. It means examining our own comfort and our own complicity. It means saying yes when Jesus calls us to a new space, even when we do not feel strong enough, brave enough, worthy enough. We are called. So ever so quickly, things that we are still called to do. There were 12 resolutions put in front of us as the body of General Synod. 3 of them were prudential, 1 is formal, and the other 8 were of witness. The 3 prudential resolutions, and prudential just means that it's an internal piece of working. Remember that the UCC speaks for the churches, not to the churches. So we take with this what we want. But the 3 prudential resolutions: full communion relationship between us and the Evangelische Kirche of Deutschland. It is the church that Mia will be an ambassador with in next month. Full communion relationship between us and the Iglesia Evangelica Una de Puerto Rico. That is really super exciting because we were once in relationship with them and they left that relationship and have now come back and asked to be in full communion with us. The other one was Small Town and Rural Coalition of the United Church of Christ requesting to be recognized as a formal group. And that one also was affirmed. So all of these were affirmed. The formal resolution, I think this is a beautiful witness of how we do things together. Pennsylvania is currently divided into 4 conferences, West, Central, Southeast, and Northeast. As of January 1st, they will be the Keystone Conference. They are all going to work together as one state. The resolutions of witness, these are things that we are called to take a deeper look at as we are called to do so. I have all of these resolutions, if anybody wants to look at that, and you can download them in their approved state off the website. Declaration of support for Philippine human rights. Faithful stewardship of our whole lives, which comes down to OWL, and advocacy for comprehensive sexual education in faith communities through interfaith collaboration. This is where we work with interfaith people. This is with the Unitarian Universalists, and we've been doing it for 25 years. It is a fantastic program. Recognition of the continually evolving language around mental health. That language is constantly changing in how we engage with our neighbors and our friends and our beloveds. Response to violence against religious minorities in India as they face still civil wars and outspurts. Responding to the federal government's attack on immigrants, migrants, and refugees, which went hand in hand with the resolution of calling the UCC to oppose the 2025 immigration rollbacks and support immigrants, refugees, and Pacific Island communities while amplifying anti-racist work on behalf of Black, Indigenous, and people of color in response to the current socio-political backlash. We are called to be witnesses to support of restoration of full funding of the United States Agency for International Development. That's the long word of saying USAID, USAID. And that went hand in hand with restoring the funding and autonomy for the Voice of America Radio, which is used around the world. Declaration to end genocide in Palestine. That conversation went on for more than an hour with three amendments. Those amendments were all shot down. It was original language that went to the floor to end the genocide in Palestine. So what about us? That's the big broad stroke that we can pick and choose to engage in because we are the UCC and have autonomy. But what about us? Where is Jesus calling us into deeper waters? Where is God asking for us, not for just our songs, but for our actions? Where does our fear need to be met with courage? You may have noticed on the way walking in that we've taken down the Pentecost Doves and Fire Hand bulletin board, and I have now put up places, things we can grow. I encourage this to be another interactive bulletin board. There are magic markers down there. Things we can grow. Where does our fear need to be met with courage? Please write your words on that paper. Nobody's going to be watching what words you put up there, so we're not going to call you out individually as what that is. But where is God calling us into the deep? Where can we go deeper? The deep is scary. I will not deny that for one bit. The deep is scary. But that's where the real life is. The justice, the calling, the abundance. That is where God's grace is. So come. Come, leave the safety of the shallows, for God is already there waiting for us in the deep.